You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio.
We have problems at the local government level, and we must be honest about them. We must recognize them, and we must address them. We have too much legacy liability in a number of our communities. The problem, we have 334 local units that provide retiree health care and pension that have $14 billion in unfunded liabilities, a huge burden.
That's Governor Rick Snyder speaking at this year's State of the State address. So what happens when a city or a school district can't keep its promises to its retirees? The result is one of the biggest problems facing our state today and the nation, unfunded pension liabilities. Yet most people's eyes kind of glaze over when those words unfunded pension liabilities start getting tossed around. In search of a fuller understanding of what unfunded pension liabilities are and what they mean for Michigan and for workers and retirees, we turn now to Liz Farmer. She's the finance writer for Governing Magazine. Great to have you with us, Liz.
Thanks for having me.
Can you please take us all through, I'm going to call it unfunded pension liabilities 101. Exactly what do we mean when we say that?
Unfunded pension liabilities basically means the amount of money that you don't have that you eventually need to pay your retirees.
That's very basic. It's like you've got a blanket and it's not long enough to cover you.
Exactly. It's the amount on the bill that you're short.
And how does this happen? What's created this problem?
A lot of people like to look at the recession and point to that as the sole reason that so many pensions have these big unfunded liabilities. But it's part of the story. The story started before that, though. Several main factors have contributed to this. Pension funds, on the whole, over the past 10 to 15 years, the investment earnings haven't been getting the investment earnings that were expected of them. So they've been falling short on their investment returns on average. They've had very good years. They've had some very bad years. But generally, people expect pension funds to earn about 7 to 8% on average every year, and they have not been doing that for the better part of two decades at this point. So that's one thing. They're not returning their investment returns. The other part is that the recession did take a big bite out of the assets in pension funds. So a lot of them dropped immediately from their funded status. They lost about 25% of their assets in 2008 and 2009. So that took a big hole out of them. And then the other part of this is that retirees are just living longer. And so a lot of the assumptions that pension funds are operating on, and they take these assumptions and then figure out what bill they need to send to the government, and the government pays the bill. Their assumptions have been too rosy. They have been assuming that retirees won't live as long as they do. Their health care costs cost more. And so a lot of this is just kind of catching up to reality. And when you're talking about government catching up to reality, they are perpetually behind.
And how widespread, Liz, is this problem across the country? I guess I'm trying to get a handle on how Michigan compares to other states.
It's very widespread in the fact that you'd be hard-pressed to find a government anywhere that is doing just great. There's certainly lots of governments that have pension funds that are pretty steady, pretty healthy. Even state governments like Wisconsin has a pretty healthy pension fund in terms of having enough money right now that it will owe its retirees down the road. But within any county that you live in, you could probably look around and find several pension funds either on the state level or city level or county level that are pretty underfunded. And when I say underfunded, I mean anything that's less than, 90 or 80% funded. There's this myth out there that having a pension fund that has 80% funded level is healthy. And actuaries will quickly point out that's not true because you need to have all of the money, not just a portion of it.
Okay. So here we are with this big problem, billions and billions of dollars in these unfunded pension liabilities. And certainly things that affects the retired municipal employees, the retired teachers. But in a broader picture, how do these liabilities hurt the city, hurt the state?
A lot of times what happens is governments are every year forced to choose with their limited funds, do we pay our full pension bill, put in the money that the pension fund actuaries say we need to put in to keep the fund growing and healthy and ultimately have all the money we need in it? Do we put all the money there, or do we invest more in schools? Do we invest more in roads? And more every year, governments are forced to really make these decisions. It's called crowd out. And it's when this big kind of debt, this long-term debt, whether it's retiree health care, whether it's bond debt, and in this case, pension debt, when the pressure to pay that then forces you to take money away from other things that lawmakers really, really like spending money on, like education and infrastructure, public parks, things that their constituents need today, not things that their retirees eventually need down the road.
One approach we've seen is cities closing off their defined benefit systems to new hires and putting the new hires into a 401k defined contribution benefit. So what are the pros and cons of doing that? How has it worked out?
The state of Michigan actually did that in the late 90s with its state plan. Honestly, even though it's been doing that for a long time, there are still pros and cons, because if you look at the retirement system for Michigan, it still has an unfunded liability on the employees that remain in the traditional pension fund, and it's like 60% funded. So just looking at that alone, you can see that closing out the plan that you have and opening up a new one that's more like a 401k doesn't instantly resolve your unfunded liabilities in your pension bill. What it does do is that it takes some of the pressure off the government down the road. Right now, pensions are structured so that all the risk is put on the government. If the stock market doesn't perform and the investments don't grow like people expect that they will, the government is on the hook for putting in the extra money that they will eventually owe retirees, because the way that it's worked is the retiree gets a defined benefit. That means when they retire, they get X dollars every month. That benefit is defined by the amount of time they work for the government and all this other stuff. 401k just says, here's your pot of money. Good luck. Mm-hmm. So all the risk then is kind of transferred from the government onto the employee. And so that's great for governments, because while it doesn't necessarily mean they will pay much less right now, it does mean that they're not on the hook if the stock market crashes, or they're not on the hook if retirees live longer. That's on the retiree.
We do have legislators in Lansing who think that this is a good approach, have tried to get this through. And so what you're saying is, yeah, when it was tried by the state, it didn't really solve the problem.
Right. The state still has a huge unfunded liability for its state employees plan. What happens is when you open a new 401k plan, that only applies to new employees. There are huge legal protections around pensions. So you can't take all your current workers and say, you don't have a pension anymore, now you have a 401k. That just doesn't work. So when the state did that, there were certainly employees who were working for the state that are still either working for the state now or are retirees that are getting their defined benefit.
We're talking with Liz Farmer, who's the finance writer for Governing Magazine, as we kind of dig into unfunded pension liabilities. And on the surface, this talk of unfunded pension liabilities and defined benefit system, it sounds dry, but this is really a highly emotional issue, because it's about promises that have been made to people who worked hard. And if these promises aren't being kept, again, emotions run very high.
That is so true. That's one of the most fascinating things to me about pension plans. Unfortunately, the word pension just sounds really boring and like something that you wouldn't understand. But when you realize this, you're talking about a person's livelihood in retirement, it becomes very, very different. And people do get very emotional about it, particularly when you're talking about teachers, firefighters, and police officers. I mean, people who either put themselves in danger's way every day, or people who are in charge of safeguarding the education of our children. When you talk about people like that and talk about doing something that would either cause them to leave the profession, because if you're not going to get a great guarantee that when you retire, you'll be taken care of, why would you stick around? You know, when you talk about it in those terms, nobody wants to do anything that would cause teachers to leave the profession or firefighters to feel like governments and their constituents don't have their back. And so when you look at it on those terms, these people are doing a public service that, quite frankly, a lot of people wouldn't want to do, and that you want to get their back in retirement and make sure that they're not going to be having to use social welfare programs or anything like that. You want them to be safe in retirement. It is a completely different picture.
Liz, so what does it say to you that so many states and cities are wrestling with this issue? I mean, did governments all across the country just make too many promises they couldn't keep? Or did our elected officials fail to provide adequate funding?
Yes to both of those. So there, I mean, that those two things, elected officials failing to provide adequate funding and making promises that they couldn't keep, those not so much, you know, those in addition to bad investment returns are the key things that explain why pensions aren't holding up the way that people thought they would. There are plans around the country, like I said, that are doing fine, but they tend to be the plans that stayed very conservative in their assumptions that made it really hard for elected officials to try and increase benefits to retirees and just basically stayed very simple, very straight plans. And the idea is that the pension plan should be part of this three-legged stool of your pension plan, your personal savings, and a Social Security check in those states where retirees get, where public servants get that. But what pensions evolved into, and this started in the 90s, is sort of like this tool for officials to score points with public employees. And they would add benefits, they would add retiree benefits, and they would lower the retirement age, or they'd boost the amount that you could get for your pension when you retire and do all these things because at the time, pension funds were flush with cash. The stock market was doing great, and there was no end in sight. And so governments made these bad decisions by boosting these benefits, and then they didn't throw in extra money to pay for them, and then they continued to not pay their pension bill after that. And so that all started around the late 90s. It continued into the mid-2000s, and that's why you saw pension funds, despite the health of the stock market in the mid-2000s, pension funds still continued to decline.
Can you give us a prognosis for Michigan if it does not manage to solve this problem? What's at stake here?
Well, Michigan's going to have to make some tough decisions regarding how it spends its money. And I think what's really very difficult to do in terms of when you, especially when you're talking about teacher pensions and firefighters and police, is pensions are a recruitment tool. You use them to draw people and give them a slightly lower salary. But the exchange is you cultivate and grow that person into a dedicated employee, a trusted public servant. You know, they spend their career with you, and then they get a pension on the end of it. You don't want teachers who are in and out in like 2 or 3 years. That doesn't do your school a lot of good. You want people who are there for the long haul. And so when you talk about a 401k, that doesn't really appeal to keeping people with you for the long term and growing a public school system into something of a, you know, model school system when you have teachers rotating in and out all the time. Same thing for police and firefighter. You want continuity in those professions. And so it's very difficult to try and shift to a 401k. If they do that, you'll probably see recruitment problems. Governments are going to have to try and figure out if they can't shorten their pension bill, if they still need to pay a lot into their pension to keep it healthy, then they have to figure out what else they're going to do. Are they going to hire less teachers? Are they going to not spend as much on roads? Are they going to not build that big infrastructure project that they wanted to do? They're going to have to make cuts elsewhere, and that doesn't really fly very well with constituents.
It's like an onion. The more you unpeel it, the more layers you find. Liz, thank you so much. Liz Farmer, the finance writer for Governing Magazine, breaking down unfunded pension liabilities and really what they mean for Michigan. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.